In the holy name of Jesus, amen. It's James and John, not John and James, the sons of Zebedee. Every family, every congregation, every community, state, indeed, every human relationship has some hierarchy. It's an inescapable part of life. There are the greater and there are the lesser. Some serve and others are served. Some rule and others are ruled. Some work and others are given to enjoy leisure. Some are wealthy and others are poor. It's not possible, at least not humanly speaking, for all people to have equality of status, reputation, income, or occupation. It's not humanly possible to have equality. It is possible, though, to treat each one of us, each and every person, as equals. But it is not possible for all people to enjoy equality in every aspect of their life. That's a utopian pipe dream, really a distortion of the heavenly vision. And yes, there is always some inequality then. Today we talk about income inequality or education inequality. You can think of more. Some people seem to be, and are, indeed treated differently than others. It's not fair. It's not necessarily even good. But it's also true that not everyone has the same station and vocation in life. Not everyone is put in the same life situation by God when they are given life. So, given that there's inequality, how would you propose to correct this injustice? Well, there is one proven way that we've tried quite hard to accomplish over the last, 100 years or so, to give equality of outcome for everyone, ultimately making everyone weak and impoverished, except for the few left in totalitarian rule. There's true equality in the communistic state for almost everybody, but they are weak, impoverished, indeed less than human. A heavy hand of law is laid upon them by lawgivers, forcing redistribution of wealth, mandating conformity to whatever the group think is, devaluing human life, instead making it some kind of state-owned possession, another statistic. It didn't go so well, with hundreds of millions dead in the process. The better way to accomplish equal status before God and one another is without force or compulsion, but willingly, charitably, and freely. Which means that this sort of change, true equality, cannot come by the force or the way of the state. They have only been given to punish evildoers and to commend those who do right. As a matter of fact and experience, only when the state gets out of the way can love and mercy flourish. Rather than force an ungodly uniformity upon all people, God has actually created you and all mankind uniquely. He gives to each one of you differently. Indeed, St. Paul describes the church in this way, as one body with many members, not every member being equal or having the same gifts, but being uniquely given to for the benefit of one another. So what God does is he takes this wonderful diversity and he orders it. He orders it in the home and in the church and the world for the benefit of love and for faith. So true equality, liberty, and fraternity comes only by the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus, the one who is crucified for you to give you that status before God and before one another, forgiven people of God. So it is with James and John. There is a human order, a birth order there, James being the elder. But that means he gets to go first. And as we heard, James did go first, with Herod killing him by the sword. But that's not the end of the story for either James or for John. John, this John, lived on to compose a magnificent gospel, to be exiled on the island of Patmos, and to compose there his apocalypse, and it seems to be the only, at least as legend says, to die a natural death. John lived longer and maybe has more accomplishments to his name. And yet, today, where are they? They're both in the grave awaiting the resurrection. And both are in eternity, joined with saints and angels and the whole heavenly host, standing before the Lamb on his throne. While their mortal life differed according to God's giving, they now both live in eternity, both beloved of God, forgiven apostles. So you see that Jesus never gives any two of us the same. He has his only one way like it for each one of us. There isn't anybody else whom Jesus loves in the same way as he loves you. He draws James and John and you and me into rejoicing, each in the only one way like it way. So, Jesus frees you and I from doing things by way of comparison. Who is bigger? Who is stronger? Who is greater authority? Who comes first? Those things are true, humanly speaking. Is it James and John or John and James? But they didn't get to the place as they were by asking for it, and they didn't get the thing that they asked for either, to sit at Jesus' right and left hand. As a matter of fact, they both got places better than they could imagine, and still not the same. So it is, regardless of whether you are James or John, God has made you fearfully and wonderfully unique. God, the Son, has uniquely given to you to live under him in his kingdom and to serve him in eternity in his righteousness and blessedness. God the Spirit has chosen you and brought you into the fellowship of the Father and the Son, each and every one of you. Thus, Jesus says to you, like he said to the one at his right when he was in his glory, the glory of the cross, and like he said to James and John, today you will be with me in paradise. May God grant it in the name of Jesus. Amen.